Hello, babies.
Would you take off a sweatshirt?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do any heavy lifting, so tell your mother next week.
Okay. Oh, no. Is there an injury?
Oh, Bobby. We'll get into it later on, Bobby.
We'll get there, Bob. We got a PSA. We got a PSA for men's health. Obviously, Bobby was not in tune with our text chat today, which is fine.
No, he never does.
I'm curious how often Vine has the cellular device actually on him.
Never.
It's on sometimes. I don't think I'm just as connected to it as the two of you are.
Well, that was the precise question that I just fucking asked.
No, I mean, I have it around. I just don't always, I'm not always, going for it. But yeah, no, it's around.
I made the mistake a long time ago of making my personal phone also my work phone. So I am attached to it literally constantly. Ray, I assume as a plumber, that's not the case. So are you just, it's just every 30 minutes you got to see some tits? Is that
yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I'm feeling groggy, you know, feeling down about myself, go in the bathroom, look at some tits.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of tits, what do you say we start with some opening takes? And right over to you, Dr. Big Mac, your opening take on the Sip of Mind Sports Show. We talk all things New England sports. Go ahead, buddy.
Thank you.
Don't you just isolate yourself like we do on every show?
No, that's what I was going to do. You were still talking, so thank you, Richard. Okay, just when the baseball season started and we were going to be bored to death, they say nay, nay. Shohei Ohtani comes out and says, I got some juicy gossip for you. He could be the next Pete Rose, and we'll dive into it a little later, but this could be one of the juiciest stories of the 2024 MLB season, with Shohei Ohtani's interpreter being fired from the LA Dodgers for gambling, and Shohei Ohtani making several payments to an offshore account for this interpreter and his best friend. So just when baseball I thought was dead, they're just bringing me right back in with this juicy, juicy story.
I hate to burst your bubble on that, but I did just read that the Major League Baseball will not be investigating Shohei Ohtani himself.
But the FBI will be.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're now an expert on things Federal Bureau of Investigation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've locked down your knowledge on
I've read several books.
Districts.
Yep.
You've read several books?
Several books.
Okay.
Sure. Are they Goodnight Moon?
Pop on pop.
Good night, Mush. Why don't you go throw it over to Bobby for his opening take?
Well, we have a bit of a problem here in New England with our coaches. The head coach of the New England Patriots, he doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything. We don't even know if he knows football, but he's got good vibes going. The head coach of the Boston Celtics, he tries to block shots for players while they are taking shots in between timeouts here. And we are in a series of having where we used to have Bill Belichick, Brad Stevens, when Theo Epstein was here, when Danny Ainge was here, we had all these great minds. Now we are left with these fools, and we can see what it is getting us. And unfortunately, the future does not look bright for us. We might need some new coaches.
Yeah. Well, kudos to you for remembering Theo Epstein's name.
Yeah, he's easy to remember.
Bobby Baseball.
Yep.
Yeah, and kudos to you for also intentionally leaving on hockey for old Monty over there. Which
yeah, whatever asshat that was with the Bruins.
He would have fit your agenda very well because he's a recovering alcoholic in the city of Boston, and they can't fucking hold a lead in the third period to save their goddamn life. So the best team, the best records in basketball and hockey, your Boston Celtics, your Boston Bruins, not a single one of them can hold the lead in the final period or quarter of their respective games against any talent. So there you go. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, where's this Celtics cuck of yours, Ray? You threatened me with a green teamer after my front-running pussy Celtics comment a couple weeks ago. And guess what? We are on the day after they nearly blew another 19-point lead in the fourth quarter to the Milwaukee Bucks. watching Jason Tatum dookie his way up the court and dookie his pants for a 1-for-6 performance yet again, almost shooting himself out of a 19-point win. Where's your Celtics cuck, right? Where is this guy? Bring him on here. I want to hear what the rebuttal is for this team's fatal flaw, which is anytime they get pressure or punched in the face or pushed around just a little bit by some team with talent in a pressure situation late in games, they fold like a stack of cards, like the dark side of the fupa when he's bending over to tie his shoe. Fold, 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 fold.
Next week, you'll be here.
I won't be here next week.
Perfect.
So we'll do a little Celtics talk. We'll also be talking about the Patriots. So you're saying there's a chance. You're down on them, Bobby. You're down on them, Raymond. But there's a path. There's a path here. It's a slim, narrow path. Ray, you're gonna
like
have
my waistline. Like my waistline.
Oh,
I was going there, kind of.
I got there before you.
Yeah, got me.
Have you had to buy new clothes yet?
Nope.
You just bagging. Buy a tighter belt.
No, I'm just going 98, you know, 1998. I'm just going a little baggy on everything, you know?
Bullshit. Ray went through a real heavy skinny jean phase, so I'm sure those are still kicking around. You can see his fucking veins. I can't even begin to fathom him in skinny jeans.
That just, oh.
It's good. Yeah. I have a very slender lower body, Bobby. Bobby, I have a very
slow. I saw the picture with you with the sock on your dick. I saw those legs.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be doing that. So Patriots talk. Also, obviously, so Celtics. This is what I'm calling this inability to close. They refuse to capitulate. They refuse to capitulate to us. And your guy, Joey Mazz, is part of this. They refuse to capitulate and just ease our nerves heading into the playoffs that they can actually handle a pressure situation to win a championship. They refuse to capitulate. We'll touch on that a little bit without the Celtics cock, apparently. Red Sox opening day next week. Who knew? We've got a fun little game. Fun little game for that one. Very important. You're going to want to tune in. A very important PSA, men's health. Ray will be talking about his nuts. That's not one you're going to want to miss.
Ray loses a couple pounds, and now he's going to mansplain health to us.
Well, a little bit, yeah. All that weight shedding off has exposed something else. So we'll get into that. It's an important PSA. A little bit of, we'll have to play some somber music over potentially.
I will remember
This or that with Chief Bobby, and of course Simplest Minds of the Week. This is the Simplest Minds Sports Show Friday Rewind, Thursday night, March 21st or 22nd. Welcome to the show. I'd like to apologize for being late. I felt a little flustered off the top. I got defensive. Sorry.
No worries. No worries. It's just you every time you come on anyway, so.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll talk a little Patriots here off season. So you're saying there's a chance. As a blog at SimpleMindsSports.com. If you're not a part of the newsletter yet, join it. Again, at SimpleMinds.com. Go click it. We send you, you know, some special. Real good. It's real nice. Just trust me. It's very nice.
Very nice.
But you can also see the latest blogs in that. I did one about the Patriots path, which I want to get to. We'll touch on a little bit. See it in detail at SimpleMindsSports.com. But before we do that, let's talk about the reason why they're in a spot where they need a path too narrow for Ray currently to get down until he continues on his weight loss journey. News almost immediately after our show last week, Tyron Smith signs with the Jets. Mike Williams signs with the Jets. Now, Bobby, I know you hate Tyron Smith, and it was a stupid signing by the Jets. I can already hear your take coming out of your mouth. But $6.5 million guaranteed for statistically the best left tackle in football when the New England Patriots desperately need tackle help. Just seemed like someone they should have been in on. You don't have a number one wide receiver. You don't even have a boundary receiver at this point in time. Mike Williams, considered, what do we call him, 12% better than Devontae Parker?
Yeah.
Okay. He signed a deal 1 year, up to $15 million, so probably less than 6.5 guaranteed, probably 4.5 guaranteed, something like that. The details haven't come out yet. Anyway, the point is there was no smoke around the Patriots on these two players. The first thing we heard was they were in on Tyron Smith before free agency started. As soon as it started, poof, gone. And then he goes and signs with your division rival for basically pennies. I mean, $6.5 million guaranteed is nothing, especially considering you have $50.6 million left in cap space. The cap space we've been here for about for a year and a half. You're third in the league with that much left. It's just disappointing. It was just disappointing to hear those two names off the board going to the Jets. Not that that even freaking matters at this point, because you're
they didn't even pull a Red Sox, though. They didn't even say they were in on the guys, like you're saying, Rich. They're pretty much
no interest.
They had no interest, whatever. They don't want to spend any money whatsoever on these guys. So they're pretty much putting all their chips in the draft and pretty much hoping that something comes out of the draft.
Bobby, can we, if you have an initial thought, feel free, but can we investigate a little bit more of the why other than Kraft's being cheap? Because I don't think that's it. They were willing to spend $40 million guaranteed in Calvin Ridley. That's the report anyway, 22 per. The last report I heard on the wide receiver, Mark, too, is they're not done. They're going to, or they very much expect to make a move for a veteran wide receiver. And I have nothing to do but believe that report. So why were they not in, at least on a veteran left tackle, for very short, cheap money?
They weren't in on those players because they have targets and they weren't them. And number one, they have spent money. I know it's annoying to say that. They have spent the money, but it is all on re-signing their players. If they had signed Calvin Ridley, I don't think any of us would have a problem about anything they'd done with the offseason thus far. We'd probably say, okay, we would have liked to have seen one more signing, a tackle, and then, okay, address it in the draft. But it's highly aggravating to see tackle, receiver, quarterback as your biggest needs and them done nothing. So they went for Ridley. It was clear Ridley didn't want anything to fucking do with coming to the Patriots. So you can't even blame them that they didn't get him, but they made an offer. It didn't work. And the Patriots, they are not going to spend a dime on somebody that isn't going to be there in the future or who isn't cost effective now. That isn't what they're going to do. They're going to do the slow burn thing. They're going to draft a quarterback at 3 and they're going to just build it around him. That's what they're going to do. It just is.
It's a legit rebuild. This is like going to be
it's 100%
a 3 to 5 year rebuild. And it's going to take very long. And we're going to have a very bad product on the field. If they don't do anything, if they hold steady and they do take a quarterback at 3 and they don't make this big trade that we all hope that's going to happen, this is going to be a long process.
I think they think that they're not as bad as we think they are. I think they think that Mac Jones fucked it all up and Bill Belichick fucked up Mac Jones, and that if you just in removing those two things, that they're immediately an 8-win team. That's what I think they think. That's what their moves show that they're doing, just adjacent by subtraction, little pieces here and there, and then they're going to try and add high-end talent through the draft. They're not going to sign it.
I hold out not just hope, but probability that they are going to make it. I've heard multiple reports that it is almost certain that the Patriots will make a trade for a veteran wide receiver before training camp or before minicamp, either after the draft or during or before. I think that's going to happen. And it's not going to be Brandon Ayuk. It's not going to be T. Higgins. Like, you might see a fourth round for Courtland
Sutton. Maybe.
They won't be giving up a second round pick. They won't be giving up anything lower than a fourth rounder. Is what would be my guess, because they are, you're right, they're on the trajectory of what Bobby just said. They're building through the draft. I don't want to beat a dead horse on this program, but that doesn't mean you can't spend money now. Tyrone Smith for $6.5 million, even if he hits all of his accelerators to $20 million, doesn't hurt your future. It helps it, especially if you're putting all your eggs in this rookie quarterback basket. You can't have a rookie quarterback and then expect your rookie left tackle that you're going to draft either in the second round or late first or something. He's not going to be a blue chip. It's not going to be the Joe Alt. It's going to be a lesser caliber player. He can't be, he shouldn't be your starting left tackle to start the season, and that's what it looks like they're going to do. So, you know, you said if they signed Calvin Ridley, we'd all be okay with it. Yes, until you dial it back to basically their first big move was Jacoby goddamn Brissett, Big Black Hoyer. No. That's full stop. You're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. You're putting too much pressure on the quarterback in the draft right off the bat. And that very, very, very rarely works. And so they right from the jump, they dug a hole with that move with Jacoby Brissett. Even though Bailey Zappi's at birthday parties claiming he's QB1. I don't know if you heard that little nugget.
I did.
You can just see when Big Black Hoyer walks in the locker room, QB2, Zappy, you are QB2.
They need to dump that bitch off on the sidewalk. Get Bailey Zappy. Get Zappy Fever out of Foxborough.
Cocky attitude at that quarterback room. Maybe Zappy
will test Brissett's pristine character and get him all pissed off and cunty with him.
Listen, I can tell you from experience, there's nothing worse than an arrogant, cocky fuck at normal. What are you? Average height, right?
No, yeah, average.
It's called short man syndrome. Nobody likes short man syndrome. Nobody likes
syndrome. Average height syndrome.
I actually watched that dude Napoleon on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, I don't think Ray has short man syndrome. No,
I loved it.
He's just a cunt.
I loved it. He was a cunt.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's a whole separate category for Ray's cuntiness, and it doesn't have anything to do with his below average height. Just in his blood. Well, all that being said, we got a couple more. We got some draft talk, some quarterback talk, but I do don't want to bury the lead here. Let me put out my plan and see if you agree with it or disagree with it. Okay, here's the move. Number one, as we've been talking about, get your number one wide receiver. Now, I'm going to explain to you a rumor that's been circling around. We saw the Vikings make a move to get the 23rd pick. We know that they are very, very, very much looking for a young franchise quarterback. They have multiple connections to Drake May. The quarterback coach went to UNC. Kevin O'Connell has a connection through him, through scouting or something like that. They want Drake May. The rumor, and they don't want to pay Justin Jefferson $30 million a year. So the rumor is, Justin Jefferson, the 11th pick and the 23rd pick in the 2024 NFL draft for your number three pick.
Done. Let me just you don't have to go start. Done. Give me it right now.
I almost feel like
today. They could do this today.
Pick for that.
Sorry, Bobby.
I still feel like they could get a future pick on top of that.
Yeah, I would tack on a future second.
They should be able to get a future pick because that deal's still not comparable to the Dolphins Niners deal.
It's not, and the deal is contingent on Justin Jefferson. It might not be. I mean, look, if it's a Dolphins 49ers deal and the Vikings really believe Drake May, that's the guy, then most people will tell you if that's the quarterback, you give up whatever it takes to get him, right? So if that's Justin Jefferson, two firsts and a future first, then that's what you do, and that's the haul. And that's what the 49ers did for Trey Lance, and it blew up in their face, which is why I would never do it, because you never know that's going to be the guy. It's a stupid fucking commentary. If you like the guy, take him. Fucking no shit. Which guy have anybody ever taken that they don't like, other than fucking probably Belichick and Sony Michel or N'Keal Harry? I bet Belichick didn't even like N'Keal Harry when they took him. He just felt pressure like from Kraft to take a wide receiver in round one. So no shit. You take a guy you like. Stop at that. If you like him, take him. Fuck off.
Was that Niners-Dolphins a trade day deal?
No, it was like right now. It was weeks before.
Okay.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only know that because I heard it on the radio. I don't have that type of shit. I'm not Billy Trashcan sports knowledge guy. I don't have that in my brain. Yeah. I heard it the other day. Anyway, so let's just say that is the deal, Bobby. Taking it and
taking the 11-23 in Jefferson.
11-23 in Jefferson.
I probably still take it.
Yeah. Okay. So there's your number one. You get your number one wide receiver, whether it's that deal or whether you go trade for Ayuk, second rounder, at least it's going to take 34, or T. Higgins going to take your 34th pick. You have to bring in a top echelon wide receiver. And if they have to be 23 or 25 years old and you got to pay them for 5 years, fine. I think that's a stupid plan because there's no deal that goes beyond 2 or 3 years in the NFL anymore for guaranteed money. So I don't know what they think they're going to get that's going to be in the future when the quarterback's ready to win, but whatever. Get the guy that catch the ball. Get a guy that can catch the ball better than most people in the NFL. Get your number one wide receiver. That's trade for number one wide receiver. That's step one. Be aggressive in the draft. Whether it's that trade with the Vikings that backs you up to 11-3, get yourself multiple picks in the early second, even the early third. Tack on high-end talent. Give up a future for fifth or fourth for this year's third. I don't care. Do what Belichick did, just in reverse. Go get good talent in the second and third rounds. It's hard to get in the first. I get that. But dump some of your fourths and fifths in the future for some thirds now. That will boost, that will accelerate your rebuild. And more importantly, again, it all revolves around the quarterback. If you're taking that quarterback at 3 or 11 or whatever, you need to surround him with talent. So, in high-end talent, not shots in the dark in the fifth and the sixth round. So, boost your draft capital this year and next year.
Can I play devil's advocate real quick? Obviously, this is a new regime. We don't know how they're going to be with drafting and identifying talent. So, doing that in this first draft with Elliot Wolf and his scouts, is that something risky that we could do? Because we don't know if he can identify the talent. So if we're giving up and mortgaging more draft picks next year, is that going to hurt us in the long run if he can't fucking identify and this backfires in our face?
Are you, just to expand upon your devil's advocate, are you saying that maybe Elliot Wolf is not the long-term GM and has to play a conservative strategy as he's been advised by Kraft because he doesn't have the title and he's only here as a placeholder until, you know, they make a final decision because he said that eventually they would.
The placeholder, and maybe he just can't, maybe he would see like a wide receiver that isn't like a N'Keal Harry and just makes this team even worse in the long run.
Here, watch me go full reverse on my rant I just had. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he thinks he's good at talent or you think he's good at talent evaluation. You just have to do what you feel is right. If it's the guy you like, you take him. So are you asking me, do I think he's good at it? I have no fucking idea.
No, probably not. None of us do right
now. Not a lot of people are good at it. But if you're in his position, Bobby's point is more to the point of he doesn't have a job next year. He has no contract next year. So is he being forced into making the safe play and taking Drake May at number 3 because he's the best rated player? And to be bold in that situation would bring on risk. And in the NFL, your risk only lasts half a season at times if it doesn't work out. Yeah, they've put themselves in a really bad situation. Kraft has managed just fucking horribly. Horribly. If I'm Elliot Wolf, if I'm in his shoes, though, fucking go for it, man. Because Drake May... Yeah. is not going to get you hired next year. Everybody you talk to, he's not ready to go. He's got to sit. He's not your plug and play solution. So it's not going to matter anyway. The guy you draft should sit a year anyway. You should be looking at 5 wins, 6, 7 wins at max next year anyway. And everybody in the organization from Kraft down needs to understand that because this is the way they've approached it this offseason. And it definitely feels like it's from Kraft. Unless Elliot Wolf is truly fucking this bad at his job and it's gross negligence. And we'll find out after the draft because he'll be fired.
Caleb Williams is the only guy that you could probably put in day one and have him be the franchise guy for your team, for the Bears. I think no matter what, Jaden Daniels is going to have to sit a year or half the season until they're ready to get.
He's too old to sit. He's going to be 25 during the season. You can't sit him for a year.
I'm just saying, half a year. I get him like a evaluator, make sure he knows the offense and all that stuff. But I'm just saying, you know, there's no quarterback in this draft coming up that you're going to be able to say, day one, plug him in, except for Caleb Williams.
It's a crapshoot, which is why they should absolutely not take the quarterback at 3 just because there's a quarterback and they need one. It like. If you listen, if you read these articles and you listen to these guys and the and just you get caught up, get swept up in this Bobby Bukkake college football fucking nonsense, just look at the odds, you dopes. How many quarterbacks who are taking the third quarterback off the board in a first round in an NFL draft? How many of those quarterbacks taken third, the third one, not third pick, but the third quarterback that has been drafted? How many of them are even good?
Well, one of them just was good at fucking mothers, Zach Wilson.
He was second.
He was the second.
Was he?
No, he was third.
Yeah. No, he was third. Trey Lance was third.
No, he was the second.
Oh, he was the second. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lawrence, Wilson, Lance.
How many quarterbacks, third off the board? The third.
Look at that 2021.
How many of them are good?
Look at that 2021 draft.
History of the NFL.
Trevor Lawrence is the only one.
Quarterback at 3. Don't take a quarterback.
No. No, you
absolute dopes. Let me just finish my path to relative competitiveness this season. Number one, Trade for a number one wide receiver. Number two, aggressive draft behavior. Don't be a dope. Don't be safe. Be aggressive. Number three, go pick up your ancillary pieces right now. You got $50 million. You have a couple holes in your defense, cornerback and safety, which, oh, by the way, just happen to be the most stacked position left in free agency because no one gives a shit about defense anymore. You can get them at a bargain because everybody's going at a bargain this year. That's what the market is dictating. Go get yourself a cornerback too in Xavier Howard or Stephon Gilmore.
I think a quarterback. I think a QB2, a CB2 is coming. That I do feel like they'll sign a corner.
You need a free safety too. I heard Marte Mapu's name being mentioned in the free safety talk today. Nope.
He's a linebacker. He wants to hit people.
That's where he should play. He would be a fantastic playmaking linebacker in the middle of the field. Just don't ask him to run, just tackle any running backs. No one runs anymore. It's a passing league. Just put him in the middle of the field. Let him cover running backs of the backfield and fucking tight ends come across the middle. Anyway, so there's your final piece. Fill out your defense because, again, it's going to be the strength of your team. You're going to have to rely on it. So don't skimp out. Go put talent in there as well. Free safety, don't ignore. Just real quickly, want to hone in on this Drake May. I don't know much too much about him, but now that he's really becoming attached to the Patriots, really, really, really becoming attached to the Patriots. Bad feet, slow decision maker, has to sit out minimum a year, if not more. But he's got a big arm, likes to throw it down the field, and I guess he could throw it to the middle. That's your cut and dry scouting report on Mr. Drake May.
They gave a comp of him as Derek Carr.
Hadn't heard that.
I heard that the other day, and I was like, no, I heard Derek Carr.
Yeah. I've heard Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Here's this point, and Bobby, you can go. The report is the Patriots are very high on two of the top three quarterbacks. They have not told us which one. To me, I was like, bullshit. If you want hope that they're going to trade back for some more draft capital, that's number one. They like two or three? Okay. But now they're getting tied closer to Drake May as Jaden Daniels' stock is going up. I can twist that little logic into the like two of three, and one of them is Drake May because he's going to fall at number three. So, hey, who wants Drake May? Give me your best option. Anyway. They're going to have meetings with these guys in the next coming weeks, and then we will get another layer of knowledge of how much they like them. So your thoughts on Drake May as your future of the Patriots, Bobby?
He's not exciting, but he is athletic. He can throw the ball. I think he would be good in like a northern climate. I think he'd be a big, sturdy quarterback. You mentioned that he throws to the middle of the field. That's a big knock about the other two in the Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, that they throw to the outside, let receivers just make plays, kind of run around. I just don't think that the players, Jaden Daniels, the Patriots would ever draft him. I just don't think they would ever go near him. I feel like the Patriots either want Drake May or they may take McCarthy. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that either. They probably feel as if it's a safe pick. I think that each of them are more their style of quarterback. I think Drake May just strikes me as like, he's just boom or bust. He was great his junior year, senior year. He wasn't the same player. He's boom or bust.
So JJ McCarthy, Drake May in.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots really like him. I think he would tick all their boxes. He was you could see him. So if we go in this Elliott Wolf scenario, if he doesn't have the job yet, basically, then he could justify it as I drafted the national champion quarterback. He was a 5-star high school recruited athlete. He was the fastest runner. He throws that. He was at the combine. He was the fastest and he threw the ball the hardest. He runs a pro style offense. Basically, every time he had to pass the ball, it was like third and long, second and long. You knew he was passing the ball, so he's used to these situations. He checks all the boxes. He's squeaky clean. I mean, from a prospect profile, he's perfect.
Bobby fucking loves Michigan.
I don't. It's not that I love
He's
him.
He's endorsing JJ McCarthy right there. That's Jesus what that was. Christ. That was
tell me you're right a Michigan fucking honk without telling me you're a Michigan honk. JJ McCarthy.
Those things are true.
Prospect. That's what you.
Those are true.
He's a perfect prospect.
No. When I say he's a perfect prospect, he has no. There are no red flags. What's the red
Mac
flag?
Jones. He's Mac
no,
Jones.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's Mac Jones. That is wrong. That is a lazy comparison.
He had a great defense. That defense. That defense led them to the national championship, and they had a great running game. JJ McCarthy didn't have to put everything on his back.
Greg Bedard did this yesterday on the radio. He rated all of the top five quarterbacks with pressure. Penix was number one. I think May and Daniels were 2-3. Caleb Williams. JJ McCarthy rated like 5 points ahead of Mac Jones from his draft. JJ McCarthy is Mac Jones. If you draft JJ McCarthy in the first round, you are a fucking dope.
No, I don't want them to draft him. I'm talking about his profile as a prospect. There's no red flags. Caleb Williams has red flags. Nobody likes him. He's a jerk. Jaden Daniels is too small. Drake May, everything that we've already said. What's his measurable red flag? There isn't one.
JJ McCarthy? He's boring. He's a goddamn tryst cracker that has no upside. His floor is his ceiling.
All he is upside. He's all upside.
His floor is his ceiling.
He's 21.
He's Mac Jones.
He's not. You hate he's him Mac so Jones. Much. The thing
he is a career backup. Watch. He's AJ McCarron. He is a career backup.
No, he's a better athlete than
especially
McCarron. If that happens, it happens.
Yeah, no. You know what I heard about Mac Jones coming out of the draft, Ray? He runs better than people think. No one gives him credit for how big of an athlete he is.
He was a bitch, too. No one talked about that.
No one talked about how much of a bitch he was. I'm sure JJ McCarthy with his fucking eye black like he's a goddamn tomahawk war. That's why you like him, because he's got the tomahawk fucking eye black, Chief Bobby. That's why you like him. What dickhead quarterback wears no sleeves and fucking tomahawk eye black to go play quarterback? Fuck
I think Russell
you,
Wilson.
JJ McCarthy. Jesus Christ. Ugh. Get a perfect profile. Oh, you expose yourself there, Mr. Blue. Where's your exposure?
I don't think they should draft him. But I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
Bobby would be the first one to go get that JJ McCarthy jersey. Oh, Patriots.com.
Yeah. Absolutely. here's what they should do, and we're going to move on here, okay? This is going back to the Vikings trade. You get Justin Jefferson. There's your number one pick you traded for, a number one wide receiver you traded for. You get the 11th pick, and you get the 23rd pick. So you dial it back. Let's just really quickly, everyone's talking about Kraft being cheap, not wanting to pay people. Tyreek Hill got 4 years, $120 million, $72 million guaranteed. He is the richest paid wide receiver in the league by a good margin. That's pretty good deal for Justin Jefferson right now. Even if he ticked it up for 3 years, for 3 year guarantee. So by the time JJ McCarthy has really blossomed into the perfect profile from at an NFL level, Justin Jefferson's coming up on an extension, and you sign him for another deal. Just fucking do it. So then you're backed up. You're at the number 11 position in the draft. I say you take the offensive tackle. I've been on this from the jump. Looked at many mock drafts. Your Fushanunu guy from Penn State should be there at 11, or the kid from Alabama. How do you pronounce it?
Olu Fushanu.
Right.
I think Rich said that.
And then at number 23, obviously JJ will be off the board, top 10, perfect profile. So at that point, you're going to want to look at Michael Penix Jr. and his no knees, but
he throws NFL lefty. It's so annoying.
What's that?
He throws lefty.
Maybe that's their whole deal. That's why they got Owenu, because
lefty throw is so very sneaky, Raymond.
Do you learn that from the movie Blindside with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, a great movie too. Real tearjerker.
Yeah, fake.
Those jerks. What? They robbed that poor man blind.
Yeah, they got sued.
Mm-hmm.
Go Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
At number 34, Bobby Bukkake. Tell me a little bit about this this white boy. This patterned right after the Patriots slot wide receivers.
Down, Ladd McConkey. Down on Ladd McConkey.
Come on. A good Irish boy.
You're so predictable. Draft the white corner.
I will take the white.
Ladd McConkey's a no.
Why?
I just don't think he's that good. I think it was a product of the Georgia offense. I don't think he's a particularly good player. I think he's overrated.
He's so fast.
Sounds like JJ McCarthy.
I think he's overrated too. Okay, I don't whatever. Think he's the third pick.
At 34, your first pick in the second round, take your pick at wide receiver. It's a deep wide receiver draft. If you walk out of the draft, we walk out of draft night with Justin Jefferson, Olu Fashuano, Michael Penix Jr., and your favorite wide receiver.
D.D. Mitchell.
There perfect. It is. Are you, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you happy?
I'm satisfied.
Yeah. That would be a great first night.
I'm annoyed that I have to watch a left-handed quarterback, but other than that.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, it's just and then we're going to throw it over to you for headlines here. Justin Jefferson, Olu Fashanunu, Michael Penix Jr., who?
A.D. Mitchell.
A.D. Mitchell. We are a scale of 1 to Irene satisfied. Satisfied. Ray? You agree?
I'd go in between. I'd go seven.
That's where your mother
I go to a place in between on your mom.
In between her cheeks, just fucking nestled right in. Speaking of in between cheeks, let's throw it to headlines with...
Thank you there, Richard. The Celtics kept all the green teamers on the edge of their seats last night as they took down the Giannis-less Milwaukee Bucks 122-119. This team needs to learn how to close out. Next up for the Celtics is Friday night against the Pistons in Detroit. The Bruins are on a three-game winning streak and sit atop the Atlantic Division and the NHL with 97 points. They have a huge matchup tonight as we record against the top team in the Metropolitan, the New York Rangers. Brian Baio has been named your opening day starter for the Boston Red Sox. The Sox season starts a week from today in Seattle versus the Seattle Mariners. And finally, on this day in 1991, Quebec Nordiques goaltender Ron Tugnutt sets the NHL modern day record for most saves in a regular season non-loss game, 70 of 73 shots in a 3-3 tie with the Boston Bruins. This has been Headlines with the Obvious One. Back to you, Richard.
Unmute me. It didn't work. We have to figure something out.
Don't you ever mute me again.
It just went to black.
I know. I saw.
I just want a transition and then a faded music in. Like we're professional. You know.
I'll work on it.
Okay. Celtics refuse to capitulate. My opening take, I mentioned the headlines, Ray. Celtics defeat the Bucks 122-119, but that was not without blowing a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter yet again. Came down to the Tatum show. Balls and passes and dribbles and shots go through Tatum in the fourth quarter, apparently, even when you're up by 20 and Peyton Pritchard is smoking Pat Beverly. And your roster bubble guys, your bench is going off. Jason Tatum needs to full stop the offense in order to dribble it up. Like he's playing at Duke again and has nothing to lose. He's the star of the show. Jaylen Brown, one shot in the fourth quarter. It's their fatal flaw, Raymond. I do know how they would fix it. If you had Ime Udoka here, he'd fix it. If you had anybody on that bench, any head coach on that bench with a nutsack worth his salt to tell Jason Tatum, this is not the best approach for us right now. Go in the offense. We have four guys that can bring up the ball and Pritchard, White, Drew Holiday, whoever else, pick a fourth. Jason Tatum does not need to dribble the ball up the court. He doesn't need to be Luka Doncic. He doesn't need to be LeBron James. Go get yourself on the block. Go get yourself in the wing. We'll get you open. And then shoot it.
I thought that's why we got Drew Holiday here.
No, I thought that shit. Was the whole,
I thought that was the whole purpose of getting Drew Holiday. You needed a point guard who can take the ball up in the fourth quarter in these crunch time minutes. So all the pressure's off the Jays. But yet, here we go again. Big time game. Jason Tatum has to take it up, walk it up the court. Just, it's not what we need. We need a guy like Derek White, Drew Holiday. Those two guys put the ball in their hands, get Jason Tatum down on the block, get Jaylen Brown on the wing, and then run your offense like normal. Nothing should change in the fourth quarter.
Yes, same old story. I kind of blame Drew Holiday a little bit. You're the point guard. Like, what the fuck? Give me the ball. Like, why would I get it? He's the player, but he's also he's the best player on the team. But he's also the veteran point guard that was also brought in to kind of play that role. So why doesn't he fight for the role? I don't know.
Yeah, you would hope for it. The problem is they're so good. They win so much that there's not enough of these opportunities. Like they have never gotten a skid, right? So after the game, Jaylen Brown spoke about once we get to the fourth, and this was kind of couched in, we don't need to give the ball to Tatum and walk up the court. But his comments were, once we get to the fourth quarter, we don't need to slow down. We can still play at pace as long as we keep control of the ball and don't turn it over. Which sounded like it doesn't need to be the goddamn Jason Tatum show. Just keep running the offense. They scored 6 buckets, 6 layups, 3 minutes into that fourth quarter. Game over. Empty the benches. You know, now it's a 30-point game, and you don't give a guy hope. You don't give a team hope. They lack it, man. And in the NBA, a lot of times it just takes doing it to then have it, if that makes sense. Like, it takes the ring, the championship, the finally getting over that hurdle. Now you have less to prove, less in the spotlight. Now you can just go out there and execute. In the NBA, a lot of times it takes doing it to have it. I always cite the 2012 or 13 Game 6, LeBron James in Boston. Close that game, took it to him, 48 points, 12 boards. Leo, just an unbelievable game. Recognizable. You saw it happening while you were watching it. Everybody thought this guy, you know, the Celtics' big three, LeBron's nemesis, had to go to Miami to beat him. Still can't beat him. Game 6, we're coming back to Boston. KG's going to shove it down your throat. Pierce is going to hit big shots. And watching it, I remember going, holy shit, LeBron James actually figured it out. And he went and single-handedly beat them in Game 6, and it was over from there. Tatum is the type of guy you're going to need that type of performance, that type of coming out party. And then if the ring follows it, then maybe you have it, and then maybe you're on your way. But right now, how could you possibly have confidence in this team in those situations? How could you possibly have it?
Can't, because also you played the 76ers without Embiid, and you almost lost a close one there. And Maxey was out too because he had that concussion. I mean, you're playing down to these teams. Giannis wasn't there last night, playing down to that team. You should have been smoking them. I mean, they didn't have Giannis. Should have been a blowout. You should have been empty to the bench on the fourth quarter, like you said. Like, we've been playing down to teams that are bad notoriously. I mean, we even play against the Pistons bad. You play against what was the other team that we could play in the playoffs? There's another shitty team that we've been playing down to them. It's just
Heat.
Heat, Magic.
Heat, Magic. Magic's the big one. Magic, we always play down to the Magic. I mean, this team will not win Banner 18 if you keep playing this poorly against teams that you should be blowing out and not closing out games against.
Yeah, it's especially now, it's not cutting time. I mean, we're almost into April, late March. I mean, now they should be getting ready, getting playoff rotations ready, figuring out exactly how they're going to attack a series. And they're still doing the same old bullshit. I mean, Joey Mazz found a new way to avoid drawing up a play during timeouts by going to defend the opposing players. So that was slick until he got called out for that. But I mean, now we can't anymore.
Beautiful segue, Bobby. It is the fatal flaw of the Boston Celtics, their fourth quarter woes against fine competition or good competition that put pressure on them. However, we have a solution related to Joey Mazz getting banned from blocking players' shots on the court as a head coach. The NBA, this just came out, actually. You can Google it. The NBA is calling this the anti-toolbag rule on behalf of Joey Mazzulla for trying to block a fucking player's shot off the bench as a coach. I know these Celtic cucks. Where's the Celtic cuck, right? Where's this guy? I'm sure
next week.
I'm sure he's eating this shit up. Ooh, Joey Matt, he's a maniac, man. I fucking love him. He's a crazy guy.
Stop competing. He's a beast.
Joey Matt. Sit down, you fucking tool. Drop a play. Call timeout. No, that's not going to happen, Bobby. We figured this out over the text chain. What we really need to happen is as the Celtics are playing their top ball, they get 23. Their margin of victory is like 23 points or something this year. It's insane. When they get to that point in the third quarter, Joey Maz needs to strategically pick out some scrub on that team, some ding-dong. It's going to take a late three and go block that shot, right, after the whistle is blown. So then he is forced an ejection late third quarter. He's out of the game in the fourth quarter where the Celtics really struggle. When things are going their way, where you're looking for a timeout, Joey Maz just sits on his hands looking for another fucking useless shot to block. Nope, he's not there anymore. Now you got a Sam Cassell over there to call timeout, give some championship pedigree, and go, hey, Tatum, get your head out of your ass, pass the ball. Joey Maz is not there because, again, he's been kicked out of the game for blocking some idiot shots after the whistle is blown.
It's genius.
I think that's bulletproof, Raymond. I think that's a bulletproof plan. Get Joey Maz booted out of the game at the end of the third quarter. So the fourth quarter can be managed by somebody with competency.
It sounds like Celtics pride, except we're not doing one of the Wayans brothers. We're just doing Joey Mass instead. So then Sam Cassell could be on the bench.
And Aykroyd and Marv from Home Alone.
Yeah. We got to kidnap fucking Joey Mass, and then Banner 18 will be ours.
Great movie.
Can you Raymond, stop have you ever Banner 18 into the kid shot like an your asshole. Son's team?
Can you say a championship? Can you just say NBA championship? Can you stop saying Banner 18?
Absolutely, Banner 18.
14-year-old boy. Who nuts haven't dropped yet? Can you just say the championship?
Yeah, absolutely. Banner 18.
Okay.
Speaking of boys whose nuts haven't dropped, your son's team, do you ever block any of those other kids' shots?
No, the kid, I told you, the kid's bigger than me, and he bodied me down a low post the other day, and I was just very impressed, but I didn't say anything. I played very hard.
You
got to
put that weight back on.
I know.
He couldn't body you then.
No.
Yeah, you're really going to have to adjust your game now.
I am.
You get those slender hips. Mm. Now that you're losing the FUPA, yeah, you have no anchor.
I'll figure something out.
Yeah, you never really had a back to the basket game. Mm-mm. You were kind of like you would just go straight until you couldn't.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it worked for you.
Or go out of bounds, one or the other.
Yeah. A lot of nut shots too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did like nut shots.
Mm-hmm. That was my MO.
It always comes back to raise a cunt. Well, we've settled the problem, the Celtics problem. So you're welcome for that. I'm sure you're listening. What do you say we try and solve the Red Sox problem right after this quick break, a little baseball talk. Close. At least the level's real nice, you know?
Mm.
It's a nice little fade in. We just got to figure out the fade out.
Yeah, you did great.
Thank you. We'll get there.
You're welcome.
A little Red Sox news, Bobby. Take a break. Opening day, Red Sox opening day is next week, next Thursday. I won't be here. Like a little second to talk about the Red Sox opening day. Psych. What I'd like to talk about is Nick Pivetta. Oh, Brian Bello was named the opening day starter. He got his contract extension. There's a very good chance that he winds up being a career number three, number four starter, but he's opening day for the Red Sox this year. If you're looking for tickets to Fenway, haven't sold out yet. Going for 60, 65 bucks. We'll get you in the ballpark. I think the latest deal from Mr. Sam Kennedy is $98 for the entire month of April and May. We'll get you into the ballpark. So Red Sox really doing big things down there. Tickets are available to go see Brian Bello pitch opening day. Opening day actually will be hard to get to because they are honoring the 04 Red Sox championship team minus the defrauder of the great state of Rhode Island, one Curt Schilling, was asked to come to the 04 celebration opening day for the Red Sox so they could sell tickets. And very wisely, Raven declined. Curt Schilling will not be in Massachusetts for opening day. So anybody with a high-powered weapon from a high building can take that date off your list.
Smart move, because apparently the 04 team fucking hates him for outing Tim Wakefield and his cancer diagnosis. So that's why he probably said, no, I'm all set. I don't want to get my ass kicked by the 04 team.
It's been said we overuse the C word in the show, so just allow me to call Curt Schilling a real piece of shit.
I'd like
to call him a cunt. I'm not going to. I'm going to call him a real piece of shit.
That's big of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And they will be honoring Tim Wakefield, and I'm sure his wife too, who one of the most tragic, sad,
heartbreaking stories
of the year. And it's a very serious note for an unserious program. Tim Wakefield is a true Red Sox legend, Hall of Fame guy, Hall of Fame player. Like, unfucking believable the way that him and his wife passed from just.
I believe they're wearing patches for him the whole season.
They should. They should. Tim Wakefield is fucking awesome. Did give up the home run to Aaron Boone in 03.
Hmm.
If nothing else, I'm fair.
I'm not a knuckleball kind of guy. I don't like knuckleball pitchers. Never did.
He did lose the ALCS in 03, but.
Yeah. Hey, 04, we won it, though.
In 04, we won it. And big part to him. So RIP Tim Wakefield. This is the other piece of baseball piece I did want to get to, and I'll do it quickly because I have a real fun game for you guys to play. Nick Pivetta and I guess a little bit of Kenley Jansen came out and said, and they were asked why there are so many arm injuries for pitchers in spring here. And they said it was because, wait for this, of the pitch clock. They said it was because of the pitch clock. The best thing baseball has done since steroids, since they allowed steroids in 30 years, the pitch clock. Everybody, even people I talked to who were against it that didn't want to begin the season, had to admit it gets the game moving. It's a little bit faster to watch, a little bit more enjoyable to watch. I kind of like the new rules. This fucking pussy, Nick Pivetta, my guy, Nick Pivetta. This bitch is complaining, this saying that there are arm injuries because of the pitch clock, because now you have to throw the ball within 20 seconds last year, the first year ever that there was a pitch clock. And now that's why there's a goddamn epidemic for pitchers' arms. No, you fool. It's because you idiots throw out of your ass every fucking pitch, because that's what you're taught now. It's ridiculous. Or you have to spin the ball a million miles a second, because spin rate in these nerds up in John Henry's box are looking at spin rate and velocity. That's why you're blowing your arms out. Not because you have to pitch every 20 seconds. It's because you every 20 seconds you throw it as hard as you possibly can and spin it as fast as you can. It's a human body. It's not a robot. Your arms don't last that long if you do that shit to them. Stop throwing that hard and learn how to pitch, you douchebags. God, I hate baseball players. Such pussies. The first thing I learned in baseball, don't throw a curveball until you get to high school because you'll fuck up your arm. That's the first thing I learned. That's how we were taught. Don't throw a curveball until high school because you have to use the muscles from your elbow to your wrist, and they're still growing. So you shouldn't do that when you're 9. And so now they're these kids to throw as hard as they possibly can.
So I didn't finger your mom until I was in high school.
Okay, that's right. That's pretty good. Those are unused muscles. They're still unused because you failed at any of that. But
yeah.
I appreciate the respect.
No, no problem.
Anyway, Nick Pivetta and the pitch clock, the bitching about the pitch clock, the best thing that's done some baseball in a very long time to get the game moving, and these guys are still bitching about it. It's just, I hate them. I hate them. And I hate the Red Sox, and I hate John Henry, and I hope that
they'll come in last. Don't worry.
Thanks. Okay. Want to play a game?
Quick. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna name some players, and you tell me. Number one, if they are on the team, if they are an actual player of the Red Sox, and number two, what position they play.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Start off very easy.
Very good.
Brian Baio.
Yes, and pitcher.
Yes.
We're going to start easy, I see. Okay.
One for one.
Okay.
Number two, Isaiah Campbell.
No. No.
Isaiah Campbell is a right-handed pitcher that throws out of the bullpen.
Damn it.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get to something good here. Okay. Yeah, this is good. Okay. This is good. Okay. Brian Rodriguez.
Yes.
Yes. Shortstop.
Raymond?
Relief pitcher.
Okay. There is no Brian Rodriguez on the Red Sox.
Damn, it's bullshit.
This is fun. Okay. Here's one. Reese McGuire.
Yes. Jerky. Reese Jerky McGuire. He jerked off.
Ray, I know you know him. What position does he play, Bobby?
Catcher.
Wow. Bobby is a baseball guy.
Nice job, Bobby.
Okay. Let's do this one. This was a Vaughn Grissom.
Yes. Second baseman.
Second baseman, yes.
News to you, Bobby. Okay. Very good. Let's go with Juan Reyes.
No. Just because your pronunciation. Nope. I'm going to go no.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, you got me. You got me. There's no Juan Reyes. Pablo Reyes.
Yes. That was the backyard pitching guy. He played in the video
Pablo
game.
Reyes plays third base. Okay. Trevor Story.
Yeah.
Yes. Pitcher.
No. Second baseman or shortstop.
Whatever. I'm guessing.
Bobby Baseball. Rob Refsnyder.
No.
Yes.
Rob Refsnyder, starting right fielder for the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, so.
Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah. Yeah. Center field.
No.
Tyler O'Neill, left fielder for the Boston Red Sox. Newly acquired this year. Bobby Sampson.
No.
No.
Fuck, I'm a bad liar. Bobby Sampson's not on the team. Masataka Yoshida.
Yes.
Yes.
DH.
DH.
Yeah, now he's a DH. That's actually right. Could be playing the outfield. I got a couple more for you here. Tikatawa Janiya.
Yes.
No.
No. That's my attempt at a fake Japanese name. Now, real quick. Now, this guy was on the Red Sox. Is he still on the Red Sox? Bobby Dalbec.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Damn it.
Bobby sucks this game. All right. I got two more for you here. Zach Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Pitcher.
That's right. This one's for Bobby. Only. Cutter. Listening. Crawford.
No.
He is. He's a borderline starter for the Boston Red Sox. Cutter Crawford.
Damn it. I'm sure he'll do fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll do good. Well, there you go. Real quick, something of your opening lineup. You're starting rotation. Brian Bayo, Nick Pivetta, Cutter Crawford, Garrett Whitlock, Tanner Houck. Josh Winkowski is in there for some reason. Kenley Jansen has not pitched yet because he's the pitch clock has mentally damaged him, apparently. But Chris Martin is also injured. And the rest of these guys that I would name from the bullpen, except for Zach Kelly, you're not going to know. So a bunch of no-names in the bullpen. Connor Wong behind the plate. Christian Cassis at first base. Bobby Dalbec somewhere in there. Second base, Vaughn Grissom, who I think is also injured. Rafaela is the prospect. Rafael Devers is, you know, your only star on the team at third base. Trevor Story, see if he can stay healthy at shortstop and make those throws. Pablo Reyes is somewhere in there. Jaron Duran, Tyler O'Neill, Rob Refsnyder, Yoshida are going to be your outfielders, again, somewhere, wherever they place them. Opening days in a week. Bobby, final thoughts on the Red Sox?
Can't wait to get it started.
Quick break. We'll be right back. Restless mind. Oh, I didn't even have to type the prompt. Good job, Ray.
Thank you.
I'd like to type the prompt because I think it's good.
Thank you.
Can you read it?
The prompt? When it goes black, come back in. When it's black, click clack.
Nailed it.
Boom.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know we just came from a serious segment about how bad baseball sucks. We're going to roll it right into another serious segment. This is the PSA Men's Health segment with Dr. Big Mac. It's what we're calling the Check Your Balls segment with Dr. Big Mac, who's going to give us his personal experience with nuts.
Thank you, Richard. So the other day I was in the shower lathering my balls and checking my balls, and I noticed some lump of some sort on my testicle. So I said, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. My wife, you're going to come check this out, and maybe I can get some sexy time. So I called her in, and she went down and checked it out, and no sexy time for me, but I got to call the doctors because she says, you need to get this checked out. So today I went to the doctor's office and proceeded to sit naked, Winnie the Pooh style, bottomless, on a desk. And the only thing that was going through my head was Richard, because I'm assless sitting on this white sheet. And I'm like, oh boy, did I do a courtesy wipe before coming? Am I going to sit up and she's going to see shit all over this fucking bed? I was very worried. So, and then obviously I'm looking through the sheet and making sure I'm looking prim and proper, and I didn't want to be embarrassed by myself. So doctor comes in, asks me what's wrong. I tell her I found a lump. My wife was very nervous, so I called. I didn't want to come here, but here I am. So she does her thing. She goes, well, you can stand up now. And I take the sheet off, and instant porn music starts playing in my head, thinking I'm going to get lucky at some point here. Nene, she just starts fondling my balls and proceeds to make it even worse, because now I'm just uncomfortable sitting down right now. But she's poking and prodding, so now I am going for an ultrasound on Tuesday to see what said lump is on my nutsack.
Raymond, we're wishing you the best.
Thank you, Richard.
I believe it's one of two things.
Did she laugh? Yes, Richard. Yes, Bobby. She laughed at my size of my dick.
Now, anybody in those doctor's office situations, the penis has a tendency to do a real turtle effect.
It was cold in there too. I was looking to see if I could turn the thermostat up.
Yeah. Do you think
you should have yanked it out a little bit?
I did. I was in there for a half an hour, so I was laying there like this.
Just kind of like one of these.
Yeah, it sucked.
Were you ever on the verge of you being nervous for getting to a standing at attention?
No.
Were you worried about your medical condition?
Am I? No, I don't care.
How big is the lump?
There's two things. This is my professional medical opinion. It's either like some type of weird callus thing that happens, or because we're old and your balls are fucking massive, so there's a bunch of shit that gets collecting there. Or two, like not in a good way, saggy, like in just really.
Yeah, like a woman when their breasts start to sag, my nut sack starts to sag. I got you.
Tie it into a fucking knot, like it's a goddamn balloon, just so you don't hurt yourself. Or decades of reserved semen that have not had a chance to escape.
Imagine that if they tell me that. They just go, you just got to fucking jerk off and have sex like nonstop.
I assume
like the next
that Raymond
month.
Beats off enough that that's not the case.
Ask your mother. Ask your mother, Robert.
I have not seen your mom's chest lately, Ray, Bobby, so I'm not quite sure how much the amount is on that. I just think Ray's a principled man, and he's fairly busy with TikTok.
No
and
one's
Fortnite.
Ever called him a principled man.
No, I think what Richard's saying is when it comes down to jerking it, I have that down pat.
Well, what I'm saying is you have your principles. And the way I would spell principles for Ray is C-U-N-T. Why? And that doesn't always include jerking off. Sometimes he has to spend his time on Fortnite being C-2-N-Y to 12-year-olds. And that takes precedent. So between that and the unbelievable lack of intercourse over his 25-year relationship, there's a good chance of a unhealthy build-up.
That'd be awesome if that's what they tell me. You just gotta fucking jerk off as much as possible for the next
month. I once had a great Greek.
Well, so basically, if they tell you that, it's like a death sentence.
No, because I know where your mother's at. I'll go down there. I'll fuck
what if
her.
It, all right, your quota. What if it fucks up your equilibrium though, and then your whole weight loss journey is off because you can't like bike? You
know, oh yeah,
over and stuff.
That's oh maybe no, that's what I'll it just is. Come you're, out with you're sitting on the Peloton too much, and you're squeezing your nutsack.
Ooh, maybe that's
ooh.
What it is.
Maybe oh maybe this whole weight journey loss because you would have never seen your fucking nutsack to begin with is the only reason you're even getting here.
Hence my original joke at the beginning of the show. Thank you, Bobby. Brought it all the way back.
Wow. Never thought of that.
Nice job. Well done. Well, oh, we're wishing you the Raymond. Best, and we're sending our apologies and best wishes to the doctor and or nurse that had to deal with you. Did you feel okay about your asshole stench?
No, yes. So what I did, I got
dinner
left,
afterwards.
I left work early, came home and put ball cream on. It's like a fragrance ball cream, just because I didn't want it to stink down there when she went down there.
And your wife's a medical professional. These doctors and such, they talk, right?
Oh, like, fuck, they have to. She would never tell me, but they have to.
They go into
you
the
know that
like you're never gonna fucking that, believe what this idiot did. Put potpourri in his balls. Like I didn't. Like I was gonna be impressed with his tiny little dick because he had fucking flower smelling nuts with a
exactly.
big giant fucking cyst on it.
Exactly. See. It was weird when I did get changed and walked out. All the nurses and doctors were in a room together, and they were giggling. And then when it was that awkward silence when I like walked by, I'm like, "Damn it!"
I was in the pool. I was in the pool. Well, Ray, we thank you for sharing that, and I hope someone out there got something out of it. When you're in the shower, and there's something. Call your wife in two birds with one stone, or at the very least.
You'll get one stone at least.
One stone. Okay. We'll be right back with This or That with Cheap Bobby.
When they ultrasound your nut, do they take one of those little machines and like rub it up against it?
I don't know yet, Bobby. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, do you have to wear like the lead?
And ask that question.
You have to wear like the lead blanket protector. Do they do that stuff too anymore?
That's X-rays. Yeah.
Yeah. Ultrasound's different.
Yeah.
Ultrasound. They put cream on it. They put like gel. So I might get an erection.
You're gonna lube you up. You're gonna get lubed up.
I hope it's a girl.
I'm sure he'll be very gentle with you.
Probably too. Yeah.
Do you think when they lube it up, they'll have to like with the like that's like take your little tiny little pee pee and then like fold it back so you can get the proper amount of?
That's what I did when she was checking my nuts.
And they just flop it back down. Like
when I was standing there, I was like,
he just gets
a like this. I was just pulling the tip up so it couldn't get to it.
Can we ask to have it mic'd? Because I'd like to hear.
Can we like?
Specifically, I like to hear. I'd like to have the sound effects for the peel off your fucking thigh. It's like, I'd like to have that. For
have you ever peeled gum off your shoe?
Yeah. One of us says something bad that we have to beep instead of a beep. I'd like to have your nutsack fucking peeled off your leg sound.
Is that? Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, sure.
Okay. See if we can get a mic in. See, can we live? Can we do a live show?
Sure. I'll try it.
That'd be great.
See what I can try.
Yeah, just tell the doctor. Yeah, listen, I'm going to live stream this for the podcast.
Yeah.
This is great content.
Civil Minds, PSA, Men's Health, live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a Men's Health segment going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Which of these outcomes would you prefer? Mayo ends up a great coach or Wolf a great GM?
Wolf a great GM.
GM. Talent wins.
I agree. I go with the GM. Same question. Which would you prefer, Kraft sells in 3 years or his son takes over in 3 years?
Kraft sells in 3 years.
Sometimes the devil you know. Maybe his son would want to spend the money. He doesn't give a shit.
I don't want them to sell. I don't think that they're horrible owners. I think that they have been disillusioned to NFL life for a long time, and they're getting a heavy dose of reality. And let's give them an opportunity to prove their worth here. So local, you're not going to get much better. Give it to Jonathan.
Yeah, most of these new owners never work. Look at Denver. Look at Carolina. Both shitbags. So probably keep it in the family. Rollerblading or skateboarding?
Rollerblading.
I don't know. Are you putting on chapstick after you said that?
Yeah.
Very metrosexual.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. I love the image of Ray fucking
rolling. I love the image of you skateboarding.
With his goddamn frog legs and narrow hips and his frog legs and
I'm fucking Canadian, baby. I'm fucking be strolling down the street with my rollerblades on.
Oh, yeah.
With the Jankos and the skateboard.
Oh no. Not the no. Yeah, Richard Jankos and skateboard.
We've talked about this. Skinny jeans and rollerblades and his little frog physique lower than the belt and that that big fupa hanging over the top.
With the titties hat.
Yeah.
Titties.
Titties in.
Very nice. Homeless with a huge hog or with home in a micro dong?
Home, micro dong.
We just went through an entire segment of that. So,
yeah,
home.
Fine. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, No, hold on. You want me to give the other side of that? If you go homeless and you truly just let go of all of your ambitions and nothing matters and you got a big old dick and you know it and you know what to do with it, then fine. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Around showing everybody.
Immediately leave my life now and, my family just, decrepit so I can have a big dick and live in the street, or have I worked myself up to this situation? And I know, I'm big dicked, but I'm homeless.
At least you'll always have that.
Yeah, so I can argue the other side, but I think I'd rather have home.
I think that's the answer to this question.
It's a great question, though. You know what this question begs is another question into the fucking thoughts and minds, the random thoughts and minds of Chief Bobby on
a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
What popped into my head.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you. Here's another one. Which is worse, the Jaguars theft scenario or this new one with the Dodgers and Angels?
Wait, what's the Jaguars?
Yeah, I don't know the Jaguars one.
You didn't hear about the one with the Dodgers staffer? He stole like millions from the organization. He stole like credit cards and checks and was like living lavishly.
Yeah, I saw that one. Ooh, good one. Yeah. It's probably worse for the on the Angel side because they didn't catch him.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
They didn't catch him. The Jags one was really expected. Was not shocking. Just feels
this
like
that,
that's the type of organization that some little no name would be able to skimp off the top for a credit card.
He took like millions though. It was like the same amount.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go Jags here, but I'd like we'll dig in more into the Dodgers one. I think it's more interesting.
Yeah, Raymond,
Jags.
Food Network Tournament of Champions or March Jesus Madness?
Fucking Christ!
Food Network Tournament of Champions, just for you,
of course, buddy. It's way better. I agree.
Yeah.
Food Network.
Yeah.
Insurance fraud or tax fraud, which would you rather commit?
Oh, insurance fraud, way easier.
Yeah, you get more money on that.
I think insurance fraud is underrated.
Well, we might be diving into this as well later on in the segment too.
It was that's what was on my mind.
It's definitely underrated, and it's way more easier, and the IRS does not have a shelf life. They will get you.
Yeah, yep. That's what I'm saying. The insurance fraud, though, you might be able to get away with it.
I probably shouldn't say this on the live internet, but I think it's legal. I had my roof done a couple years back through one of these probably big dick list homeless people that walk around and knock on your door and say, we've got a great program for you.
Yep.
And I did it, and it was like $500, and they worked through the insurance and did my whole roof because there was quote unquote damage from a hailstorm. That felt like insurance fraud, and it felt great, but it was like legal, you know. That's the type of of fraud you want to get into. You want to get into legal fraud.
Yeah. Legal fraud. There's plenty of legal fraud.
Well, that's the type you want to get into.
Yeah, I agree. All right, here's a question. Pho or ramen? Which do you prefer?
Neither.
You got to pick one.
Ramen.
You prefer the noodle over the broth?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even know what pho is.
Nope, that's why I just knew what ramen was. That's why I picked ramen.
There you go. Yeah, no fucking chance he knows what pho is.
Yeah.
Pho? Pho show? Okay.
Pho. Give me the broth.
Yeah, it's definitely pho. Ramen is for fucking pores. It's for pores and fucking assholes. It's pho.
Oh, you're ketchup or mayo?
Dry? I did fart. Dry chicken fucking ramen where you're going to crack it dry and sprinkle it in class and shake it up in the bag and then eat the gun. Yeah, you. That is. That's fucking Big Mac special.
Yeah. Ketchup or mayo?
So are we saying ketchup. Like we got to eliminate one for the rest of your life?
No. Which one would you prefer if you had to only have one condiment?
The other one's eliminated.
Well, just out of those two condiments, which do you like more? That's all.
Oh, mayo.
I go ketchup.
I go mayo, too. It's more versatile.
Better ketchup nursery up. Rhyme. Wheels on the
shut
bus.
Shut up. Or shut bingo. Up. Let me explain. No one gets it. No one explains their goddamn picks.
Like, fine.
Not... You can put mayo on fucking hamburgers. You can put it on fucking sandwiches. You
can put it on, Ray. If
you can put it on ketchup, French fries.
Keep going. What else? Yeah. You know his ass. Yeah, the ketchup. If ketchup on the wrong thing will fuck it up. Yep. Now there are a lot of mayo haters out there that say if you put mayo on anything, it will fuck it up. But if you put like ketchup on a ham sandwich, fucks it up.
Yeah.
Right. But mayo on a burger, people can dig that. So it's more versatile. So you go mayo here.
Yeah, I agree. Mayo's more versatile. But the things that I need ketchup, I want ketchup on. I fucking need it on. I need it. So it's, I have to have it.
Do you put ketchup on Ray's mom's ass?
No. I don't put it there. I let her put it there. And No, I don't. I don't do a lot of things. I let her kind of do it. Then I come in after. No,
yeah. You are smarter than me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Better nursery rhyme. Wheels on the bus or bingo?
Wheels on the bus.
Wheels on the bus.
It's wheels on the bus. Bingo shit. Winners or losers in 3-on-3 basketball? Winners or losers?
What is this?
Losers.
Losers? You fucking... You it's fucking winners. Loser.
Explain yourself.
I just don't like a dominant performance, you know? I want to see a little defense.
Fucking play some defense, Raymond.
Such a pussy.
It's winners.
Such a pussy. It's winners.
Okay. Next, Robert.
Are you
Gatorade or vitamin?
Bobby, do you want to come visit me in June while Ray's here so we can play? Winners one on one.
Absolutely. I'm gonna develop Ray's back to the basket game when I back him down with his 175 and then dunk on the 6-foot hoop that we have there.
I'll still outweigh you by 40 pounds, and I'll fucking just pick you up and grab you by that goatee and fucking rip you down.
He's so angry.
I'm going to develop your mother's back to the ass game. Oh, my dick. Go ahead.
Gatorade or vitamin water?
What the fuck is vitamin water?
Yeah, Gatorade.
You never had vitamin water?
I don't know.
It's
just like a different Gatorade.
One. Yeah, purple. Drink. 50 Cent made it.
Water.
Goes with the water. Give me the vitamin water. Eat cold food or drink warm beer?
Cold food.
Yeah, warm beer is untenable. Mm-hmm. Untenable.
Not good.
There are places where they only drink the beer warm. They're disgusting, vile fucks.
You know, they drink at room temperature, and it's not really beer.
Warm. That is warm.
It's like a table. It's like a table liquid. Like the Romans used to drink wine, but it wasn't really wine. It was like 1.7% alcohol, and they drank that warm too.
Sterilized water with alcohol. Yeah,
it was hydration.
Yeah, and they just got drunk and did crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna, what you're talking about is, you know, the Brits and the Irish over there in their pubs. I'm not gonna talk shit about that. That's an enjoyable time. I'll drink some, table warm ales in a London pub any day. But you know, you give me a warm Miller Lite in Philadelphia, you can go fuck off.
Well, that's a totally different thing. Yeah, I mean that beer is brewed to be that flavor, that temperature.
Bingo. All right, thank you, Chief Bobby. We'll finish this up with Simplest Minds of the Week right after this.
Back to school to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool.
But I will say, I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, I do have family members with Down syndrome. It almost got me. I dodged it, but it nicked me. Bit of a daywalker myself.
Are you stupid or something?
Mom says stupid is as stupid does.
Raymond, your opening day bombshell for the MLB. Shohei Ohtani, the billionaire making $2 million a year the next decade because baseball is dumb. Shohei Ohtani's translator and best friend in this headline. Now, this should be fun for me. Ippi Mizuhara.
That was spot on.
Pretty good. Ippi Mizuhara was fired by the Dodgers after being accused of stealing millions from Shohei in illegally gambling. Now, I will, Ray, I know you have, your take on this. I didn't dive too much in the story, and there's not a lot released on it. Here's the one phrase that really intrigued me. Illegally gambling. Now, this may be my ignorantly racist brain. There it is. Thank you, Bobby.
Anytime.
Yep. That's immediately where I went. Some type of fucking off books, crazy Leslie Chow hangover situation. I know that that's probably horrible and not something saying 2 and 24, but welcome to Simple Minds Sports Show. I think it's funny. What is also funny is the Shohei Ohtani has been playing for the Angels for 6 years with the same guy, and no one
blinked an eye
across town over there. Second he gets with the Dodgers and they give him $1 billion, they're like, hey, dude, this guy's dumping all your money into fucking downtown cockfighting matches.
They're saying some of the payments were from Ohtani himself.
Okay, bring us in the story a little bit more, Ray. I'll just add this, and I don't know if you have the picture or if you're able to put it on the screen, but the guy, the picture. Oh, not that one, because that really doesn't do it. It's the one that I sent in the.
Oh, I don't have that
one. The picture that I sent in the text chain, that guy looks exactly like the type of guy that would steal millions of dollars and illegally gamble.
Yeah.
It made me laugh. Bring us into the story just a little bit, Raymond.
So basically what they found out is that the guy that you pronounce his name, Shohei Ohtani's translator,
Ippi Mizuhara,
was gambling on everything and anything except for Major League Baseball. Which I call bullshit, because if you're a degenerate and you're gambling on everything, you're going to gamble on baseball. But basically, he owed $4.5 million to some offshore gambling site, and Shohei Ohtani gave him the $4.5 million, but didn't know what it was for to help pay him off. So basically, MLB isn't going to punish him, but the FBI is still investigating whether or not Ohtani was part of this gambling ring or whatnot.
I feel like Ohtani is a pretty straight and narrow guy,
but the only bad part is that the payment came from Ohtani for the offshore account.
So he funded illegal activity.
That's what they're trying to say. So that's why the FBI is getting into him and shit. So
he won't get deported. The Dodgers are worth $7 billion. And Ohtani single-handedly took the Japanese economy up like 3 points. So he won't get deported. He won't even get investigated by the MLB. And I guess our FBI forensic consultant, Mr. Obvious here, Dr. Obvious, the obvious one, Dr. Big Mac, a.k.a. Bottom of the totem pole of dumb, you are more aware of what the FBI is going to investigate. My guess would be, Tani's off the hook. We're not going to hear about this probably for the rest of time, would be my guess.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets suspended for a game or two.
No, won't happen. But that's the
thing. He only makes $2 million.
Mizuhara.
How does that work with a deferred salary? Can you just get suspended for the whole year and still get your whole deferred salary later?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. He won't get suspended at all. Mizuhara is gone, I'm assuming. I'm sure he is getting deported maybe as we speak.
Well, he only makes, they said his annual
income,
his annual income is only like $300,000 a year. So he would never be able to have that kind of funds to pay off these guys. So they're saying, well, I don't know. It's a very sticky situation here.
What do you think, Abbott? Ohtani, this squeaky clean kid is going, hey, I'd like to put some bets on the murdering of the bulls in Spain and over there in Europe. So here's $2.5 million. Go do what you want to do with it, Ippy. Or do you think Ippy is a degenerate gambler and makes only $300,000 a year, so feels like he needs to get a little bit more? So he goes, puts some money on the fucking ponies, loses it all, and then goes with his hands and knees to his buddy Ohtani, who hired him, who they probably went to fucking high school or whatever together. That's probably why he has the job. It's a story as old as time. You got these guys that you give a job to that you've come up with that you think supported you, and then they fuck you over. Dane Cook's brother. Who was the one? What was the whose brother just screwed him over? A manager or something? It was in our text chain. Didn't Bill send us someone? Somebody just fucked them over money wise. Mm. Anyway, it happens all the goddamn time. I would bet this kid got over his head, the Mizuhara, and asked Ohtani for the money, and Ohtani gave him the money.
I think the thing was Bill was about ex football players.
Maybe. Those guys go broke too. Adrian Peterson broke.
Oh, that was what it was. That's what it was.
$100 million broke. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's push this along here. I don't know if I sent this to you guys or if this was just me, but I felt it was a very, very funny story. The toupee bandit.
I didn't see that one.
He tried to hide a half a kilo of cocaine under his toupee. If you click that link. And I don't know if you can put it up on the screen, Raymond, or through the link, but
what an idiot.
It's an unbelievable picture. It's not even close. Like the toupee just sitting on top of the kilo, on top of his head.
Oh, that's bad.
Where was this?
I don't remember. It was like
some sort of Russian. Is it Russian?
Bad for the podcast because we don't have the visual. We don't. There you go. Half a kilo of coke under his toupee. Okay, that's a quick one. Let's end it on this one. Compliments of Chief Bobby. A student persuaded by his friend to get his legs amputated for $1.3 million in insurance. Scam. Fraud. Wound up only getting $7,200, $7,200. And now he has to return it for the prosecutors. This is about as dumb as you get. Oh, and I just clicked it, and I'm not an insider, so I don't have
access. Bobby is. Use Bobby's password and username.
Or Bobby, just give us the story. Anything more on the story that you have besides the headline?
Basically, it's similar to the Ohtani thing. One friend had a gambling debt and convinced the other, who was also just down on his luck, that they take out this policy, do this insurance scam, and then split the proceeds.
Where this is Simple Minds, and this is going to be a dumb question because obviously they're dumb enough to do this. So why would they ever think about this? You're down in your luck. Your buddy's got a gambling debt. I'm not. $1.3 million is $1.3 million. I get that's a lot of money. But if you don't have any legs, how far do you think $700,000 is going to get you? You split that 1.3 in half. How far do you think $700,000 is going to get you? 7 years?
Wheelchair. It's Taiwan, though, isn't it? Was he in Taiwan?
It was Taiwan.
Oh, well, then you're set. You're basically the king of Taiwan.
You're king. Yeah, I was going to say you're.
Never mind. I take back everything I said. This is totally justifiable. Cut my legs off.
Finest cockfighter in history.
Yeah. I know exactly the finest. I know exactly where Ipe Muzuhara is going. He's going to find this guy in Taiwan. They're gonna put together a business plan. And
I wonder if they're related.
Well, that's not how it works, Bobby. No. This has been the Simplified Sports Show. Friday Rewind, Thursday night, March 21st. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Where? Back to the future.
Hello, Robert.
Hi.
How are you?
Just fine. Yourself?
Wonderful. No Richard yet. That's fine.
It's fine. Whatever. He said he wasn't here next week. Maybe he meant this week.
Yeah, sometimes well,
it can be tricky to keep together.
But he has a beautiful email set up, so I'm assuming he would be here this week. So.
You would think.
Anything going on with you?
You know, same old stuff. Like I said, was going to get some construction done. Then the builder had a bit of a meltdown. So, can't go with that guy.
Hence why you have the same room.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's the first time in this show's history.
This is better, as it would have been very intrusive, and now it's not.
Intrusive. Beautiful word. Hello, Richard. Richard, we started 8. I sent the email out or text out at 8:30. You're not even at home, are you?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
He looks very confused. And
I don't understand why things aren't working.
Well, you plug the cords in and all that stuff. Maybe you come down a little earlier. Did you get a haircut? Yes?
No. Shut the fuck up. I know why.
Anyways, Robert, we're live, yeah. So let's just get this thing going.
I like it waiting like this better.
I do too, because he's going to get pissed and he's going to get angry.
Hey.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, boys.
What's going on?
Not too much. Apologies. Your mother was late, so I had to wait.
Makes sense.
Yep. New room, Bobby?
New room. That's always good. New.
Right, you lose weight?
Yep.
No fucking way. There's no fucking way you have continuously
down to 194, baby. 194.
Weren't you at 190 last time we spoke to you?
Nope. 195. Pound. Suck my dick.
What, did you take off a sweatshirt?
Mm-hmm. But I can't do any heavy lifting, so tell your mother next week.
Okay. Oh, no. Is there an injury?
Oh, Bobby. We'll get into it later on, Bobby.
We'll get there, Bob. We got a PSA. We got a PSA for men's health. Obviously, Bobby was not in tune with our text chat today, which is fine.
No, it never does.
I'm curious how often Vine has the cellular device actually on him.
Never.
It's on sometimes. I don't think I'm just as connected to it as the two of you are.
Well, that was the precise question that I just fucking asked.
No, I mean, I have it around. I just don't always, I'm not always, going for it. But yeah, no, it's around.
I made the mistake a long time ago of making my personal phone also my work phone. So I am attached to it literally constantly. Ray, I assume as a plumber, that's not the case. So are you just It's just every 30 minutes you got to see some tits. Is that
Yeah, pretty much. I'm feeling groggy, you know, feeling down about myself. Go in the bathroom, look at some tits.
Fair enough. Yeah. Speaking of tits, what do you say we start with some opening takes and right over to you, Dr.
Thank you.